So it is my responsibility this morning to share the topic of a life of love, and with what I've just said, it nicely goes into the topic which we're looking at, a life of love. Darren, if you could just put that up. I have to apologize right from the outset because I've got a life of love, which is what I wanted, but if anyone has spotted the deliberate mistake, it's not chapter 3. Will did that last week, it's chapter 4, so I've got to get myself a bit better organized in the future. But a life of love, and that's what our topic is all about. See, verse 1 of chapter 4 says very clearly, therefore. And whenever you see that verse and that word, it means something special. It follows on from what has previously been indicated and shared by Peter in the previous chapter. You will note, of course, therefore follows on without any, normally, in the original Greek, it was no divisions of verses and chapters. So it flows naturally on from chapter 3. And chapter 3, verse 15 says, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That is Peter's desire, that that would be our whole existence and reason for living, that we would set our hearts apart for God. Why? Verse 18, because he was put to death, but made alive by the Spirit. And because Jesus died and rose and is alive even now, right now, we are the beneficiaries of his resurrection. What a wonderful fact, and what a wonderful reassurance to each one of us. Verse 21, the end of it, and 22. So it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So this is the glorious fact that Peter has shared with us and Will greatly blessed us with last week. It is the truth that we have that wonderful awareness that God has set us free through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Darren, if you could put up the next slide, I'd appreciate it. And as a direct response from that, because we are set free and we are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a life of love that should be lived, first of all, towards God. I love God because though I deserve nothing, he gave me everything. And that is the wonderful thing about it, that we have no reason to enter into the goodness of God, but it is by his mercy and his love, he has reached out and touched us. And so we come to that verse. Therefore, what is the outcome of us? We have been transformed by the power of the resurrection, and because Jesus is now at God's right hand, hallelujah, that's where he is, and we reign with Jesus in the heavenly places. But there is a challenge to each one of us to live in the reality of the truth. Is it just another fact that we have pick up in life's experiences, or is it a dynamic change? Is it something that transforms us? The verse carries on, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. That same attitude as Jesus Christ. He gave himself for you and me. He was allowed himself to be crucified on the cross. He was then delivered from the pain of death by God's almighty power, and he is resurrected and alive. That same attitude of willing commitment of love towards God and to each other, that is the hallmark of the ones who have been set free. Is it the hallmark of you and I? That same attitude which was in Jesus Christ, who was willing to let himself be crucified. But thank God he is alive and risen again. We will never achieve that ultimate goal. Have the same attitude? Yeah, we'll be flawed beings. We'll never quite achieve that. But we one day we will be called home, and the Lord returns to take us to be with him. And our hearts from that moment on to the moment we get taken up should have a striving to have the same attitude. I often say that the one thing in my heart that I long for is that the gap between where I am now and where I should be when I go to heaven will be diminishing all the time from day to day, because I'm expressing my love and thanks to God because of all that he does. It's life of love towards God. And how should that change us? Verse 2, as a result, He or she does not live the rest of their earthly life for human evil desires, but rather for the will of God. There is a transformation. There is a change in our life. We are transformed, and that should be a dynamic life experience. The world does not understand such a change of lifestyle and practice. They think it's weird. They think it's crazy. In fact, there's more and more pressure to conform to the pattern of society. And the pattern of society right now is wherever I am, whatever I want, is what the moral value should be. That is not what it should be a hallmark. The same attitude of Jesus to give himself selflessly to honor God should be the way that expresses on our lives towards people in everyday life. We shouldn't be following the morals and the values of society, which is encroaching. Sadly, in many ways, the church, you and me, are drifting with the world and becoming less and less distinctive. May God help us to have that same attitude which reflects the wonder of all Christ has achieved for us, the same attitude as Jesus, and show a positive alternative lifestyle. Yes, we may be criticized. Yes, we may be laughed at, but let's be a people who set a distinctive lifestyle which is clearly distinctive from those who are about us. Why? Because we want to live a life towards God through Jesus Christ. But it's not just towards God, it's a life of love towards others. Darren, please. Towards others. One clear expression of that change in attitude should be the way it manifests itself towards other people. Verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." Just so that we might pray, get down on our knees and be in our cloister and be separated from the world so we have this intimate relationship with God purely by prayer? No, it's an active, dynamic prayer which works again, which works out in the everyday of life. Again, it's the attitude which is vital. Knowing that our days are short, then we should be alert in prayer that we might display the evidence of what has been achieved through faith in Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, that was the attitude of Jesus. He willingly offered himself to God. He willingly asked God that he would be directed and led in every aspect of life. And that should be the example that we express as well, that same attitude. Lord, as we're in prayer, we're actually saying, Lord, reveal those things that are out of order. Reveal those things that aren't quite in conformity with the heart of God and Jesus Christ. And just help me to understand what it means that I might change and be more like Jesus Christ. So but clearly then he goes on in verse 8, and this is critical. Above all, Peter identifies what he considered to be the most significant evidence of a changed heart and attitude. Above all, love each other deeply. I don't know whether you all remember, but I'm reminded of that player McEnroe, who could say on numerous occasions when he was playing, "You cannot be serious." And sometimes that is our attitude as Christians. You cannot be serious that I should love deeply other people. I mean, let's face it, I didn't choose who was going to be in church. I didn't choose the people we rub up against in church. So that's not an easy thing to do. Love each other deeply, that's asking a heck of a lot. But clearly there is a sense that we must treat others the way God treats us. The Message version says, with even more punch in some ways, love each other as if your life depended on it. Does your life, does my life depend on the life of love of God for us, such that it drives us to reach out to each other in a as if our life depended on it? This is no easy option. This is rugged, determined love. Perhaps you're asking why. Well, the Bible continues, because love covers a multitude of sins. Surely that's something that we all want. We want the sins of our lives and the sins of others to be covered. It must be said, not just to be a lid put on it, but rather to be covered in the sense of renewed, restored, reconciled, and changed. That's not always very easy. And I have to say, we've had times in our life where things have been an issue. There was a time when we were in Congo serving as missionaries. We lived right next door to another couple who we seemed to get on very well with. And we even shared the same washing machine, which for the ladies was quite a challenge. But there was this one day when I was carrying some bags of some guests into the other couple's house. I got into the kitchen, and as I entered the kitchen, the husband said to me, "That's how you've always treated us. You never consider us. You treat us as dirt." And he just went on and on and on with vindictive statements. And I was just absolutely bowled away. Could not believe what was being said to me. We know sometimes find that there are reactions in people which knock us off our feet. Well, obviously we retreated. And to be honest, for 4 days, there wasn't a word that went between us all. It was tough. It was difficult. But you know what? There was a forgiving of each other. There was a reconciling. There was an asking of an expression of love that we might be renewed with each other. And years later, the couple said to us that they honored us for the way in which we worked together in order to improve and express love to each other. And they are some of our best friends now. Is it easy? No, not always. But it is a determined effort of our lives that we might express this forgiveness to each other. In some ways, I believe COVID has caused an issue because we can all withdraw into our little home environments, our little castles, and not actually reach out in a way that is impressive. Thanks for the Paula and the food bank. They're just an evidence of that love to people who are in need. But it's leaving a lot of people with a sense of loss of tangible care and affection. Yes, the country is blessed with Christians and churches, as we said, just the food bank and other things, who are reaching out to help, but there is still a deep loneliness within the hearts of many. People are looking for an expression of real love that goes beyond the ordinary, that is as though our life depends on it. We all need to hear that we are loved. I'm sure that's true of you as it is of me, but sometimes we just don't do anything about it. Sometimes we just don't tell each other how much we love one another. And we're always waiting for others to take the initiative. I have to say that there was another experience in my life where I knew my parents loved me, but they were people who were from a different generation. They didn't actually express it in tangible ways. And I really longed that there would be an open expression. I went to a conference, and in an afternoon seminar, I really was touched by the Father heart of God. It really impacted my spirit and impacted my soul. And I felt God say, "I love you so much. You go and tell others that I love you, and that will transform their lives." I was staggered because that real impact from the Spirit of God, only a few minutes later, had an opportunity. Because out of all expectation, my parents turned up to the evening seminar at the conference. And afterwards, I went up to them and I said, "Mom and Dad, you probably won't understand what I'm trying to say or where it comes from. But I just want to say, I love you." Do you know what? That changed their expression of verbally to me from that moment on. Sometimes we need to take an active initiative. We need to go out of our way to express that love, to show that we really do care. Sometimes we are totally passive, but Peter is encouraging the Christians to be active in their expression of love. Love each other deeply. Love each other as if your life depended on it. And I believe that one of the essential elements of that deep love is forgiveness, because that will cover a multitude of sins, as the scripture has just revealed to us. It is through forgiveness that we cover those sins. It doesn't mean that we condone it or forget it. It certainly doesn't mean that we talk about the problems to other people. It does not mean that we just forgive in our hearts and then move on. It is an active, ongoing, clear evidence of love for God and for each other. Can you put another slide up, please, Darren? In Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Aggressive forgiveness we call grace." I just love that phrase. It's an aggressive forgiveness that we call grace. It is because it's abounding out of a love for God and for each other. It is stimulated by the fact of what God has done for us. The word aggressive is not passive, but it means taking that initiative. Because maybe I need a forgiveness, or maybe other people need a forgiveness, and we need to take the action. in addition to not being hoodwinked by the world, thinking that we are all we need is to send, this is such a problem. The instant reaction in the world today is to send an email. Can I be, even Facebook or Twitter, can I be a bit contentious here? I think we ought to be very, very careful about sending off written communication with people. I know it's a bit difficult in the day we're living in with COVID, but I'm so sad that so often email, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram have vindictive statements without conveying a proper understanding of love. It may result in a digital ping pong, I call it, because it just rotates back and forwards. Aggressive love does not hide behind the written word, but is willing to connect openly, face to face. Maybe that will be a stimulus to each one of us to actively reach out. John 13, verse 35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." This is the evidence of true love and true, clear understanding of who God is. And the world will be impressed and convicted by our love towards each other. Again, just not too long ago, we had a problem with an individual. We phoned them, but got no response. So we contacted a mutual friend and asked if they would act as mediator between us. And eventually a meeting was arranged and we all got together on this particular evening. And before we could say anything, the individual concerned asked us forgiveness, and they'd opened up a new dimension of relationship that had not been very, very acceptable previously. And it's interesting too, I believe that's an evidence of true love for each other, but also Peter highlights two areas as well. And the first one is the practical outworking through verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I think the sharing of the food bank, the sharing of things to help other people is all part of it, but there is a hospitality aspect too. When we share with others, we share with Christ because he is with us in that situation, because he said, "I will be with you when you meet together." And like Abraham, we might even entertain angels without knowing it. And what a blessing to be knowing that we are connecting with the spiritual realms and having a stimulation in that way. Love invites without expecting anything in return. I don't know, maybe we get all uptight because we hear such a statement, but we're not good cooks, or we don't feel our home is good enough to entertain. Can I dispel that? Can I just say it doesn't have to be a four course banquet? Maybe just a dessert, maybe not even that, maybe just a coffee. But it's getting together to share the love of Jesus with each other, expressing our concerns and our love and rejoicing in the good things. Is it not an encouraging thing to hear from people in the course of today's service? Let us do it in our homes and be encouraged and stimulated. It might not all be good news even. It might be actually that we can share our struggles with each other, so that we actually, there are one of the problems in Christian churches today is there's an expectation that we all have to be perfect and we all have to reveal a level of spiritual experience which is victorious. But sometimes life is tough. Sometimes it's hard. Let's share it with each other and let's pray for each other. Use it as a time to really connect and express our love for each other. Hospitality is a thing which shows our love for each other. It could also be a time when our children learn who God is. I say that because when we were in Congo, we ran a guest house, and people who visitors used to come, and they would come, there was a normal expectation, we would give them a meal and they would be in our home, and obviously would sit down with the guests and the family were around us. And this would go on numerous occasions. And we'd listen to stories and we'd listen to people's heartaches, but also their joys. And this impacted us. And we were able to share with them and sometimes pray with them. But actually there were times when the children would say to us, "Mom and Dad, is anyone coming to supper tonight?" And we would say, no, there's nobody coming tonight. Oh, how boring. So actually kids can be stimulated and be encouraged, and actually, many of the experiences that my children are going through even today are as a result of listening to the stories of other people and sharing love one another. And then not only is it hospitality, but Peter reflects in verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. This is a natural expression of our love to God and to each other. Please do not hide your gift and your ability. Everyone has a significant place in the Church of God and in society today, and every one of us has something to share with other people. Please let us be, as Peter encourages us to do, is to reach out and use these gifts, to use these opportunities to serve one another. It is an opportunity to show that we honor each other, we love each other, and we're willing to actually get down on our knees like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, not my will, but yours be done. May it be that we express that in a very clear way. And so I have my last slide, a life of love. Why? Verse 11 says clearly, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. May our lives be a living expression of love towards one another, because then the world will know who God really is, and so that he gets the praise and the glory. After all, he is the creator and initiator of aggressive love to each one of us. In all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ, and so to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you. And now I believe Oscar is going to play a song which was close to my heart, Reckless Love. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. May we be so thankful for what God has done, that we live a life of true love to him and to each other, in Jesus' name.